Good morning and welcome to the FTS bet slip on Tuesday the 19th of March. I'm not sure how to sound now. I don't know if people follow my tweet last night, but my missus laughed at me how I speak on here. So now I could talk all robotic like this. I genuinely don't get up and think I'm going to be DJ-like, but apparently I was. Gave me a bit of stick last night. It's quite amusing. There is nothing. I don't think there's going to be much this week at all, to be honest. But I just thought we've had a bit of fun on Twitter this morning. I got up at about 6 to process the football, and then on realising there wasn't any, started reading the news. And from reading the news, I asked a couple of questions on Twitter, and from Twitter that led to me, as somebody put it, being almost Trump-like on Twitter this morning, just quick-fire tweeting. Got carried away with myself. But it was all in jest. There was nothing meant seriously in there. And that sort of brings me on to a topic I thought I'll talk about today for a little bit, as we've got nothing on. And it's inspired really by Gurdy a while back saying on the website, he asked a question, could I tell more about my background? And I thought, well, I can go into it a little bit this morning. I don't want to bore you all, but it might be of interest to some. I'm not planning, by the way, to branch into other subjects. I did say that this morning. I'm not stupid enough to get involved in politics and stuff like that on social media as a long-term project. I'll cover that a bit later. But those who want to know a bit more about me, in a nutshell, my dad was a complete and utter arsehole. So that's the sort of start of the story. He was always an arsehole. As a kid, you probably look up to your dad, which I certainly did. And it's in later life that you look back and realise he was an arsehole all the time. But it obviously all came to a head at different stages in my life. But when I was sort of in my mid-20s, I'd met Sam, married. She's fantastic, by the way. I'm not going to bin her, as I said on Twitter last night. She already had a kid. She was brutally honest when she met me. Said she had eczema and a kid. The very first sort of sentence out of her mouth. And that really didn't bother me at the time. We just hit it off almost straight away and have been together ever since. I was 21 then. And obviously that led to me then moving out of home and settling up with her and Jodie, who was the kid she had. I class as my daughter, and she has her own problems. And obviously we've then subsequently had a boy together. But in all that time, when I was sort of doing all that, and my mum was dead against it at the time, just because that's the world she was brought up in. But in that time, my mum worked 7 days a week tirelessly, and my dad did nothing. For 20 years he did nothing. He pretty much just sat on his arse. Certainly 15 years doing nothing. And my mum worked 7 days a week. When my mum came to retire at 67, she had her own business. She decided, I'm going to retire. And they weren't super, super wealthy. She'd worked hard and that. But as an idea, she'd only ever had two holidays. I think she'd been to Austria for about 4 days. And she'd been to Italy, and that was her only two holidays outside of the UK. The rest of the time she was in, you know, if she had a holiday, they went to Torquay or somewhere like that. So she hadn't experienced a great deal in life, and having worked her arse off after 7 days, at 67, she decided to retire from this seven-day-a-week grind. The very next day after she retired, my old man left her for a woman about 30 years younger. And then 2 years later, my mum, and I put a lot of it down to the stress of that situation, we got told she had cancer on the Wednesday when she was 69, and she died on the Friday, literally 2 days later. I was in the hospital on my own when the doctors called me in and said, your mum is riddled with cancer. She'd been ill. They took her into the hospital. Obviously, they opened her up and said, your mum is riddled with cancer. She won't be leaving here. I'm one of five, you can imagine. I'm the youngest of five, completely heartbroken. And 2 days later, she died, having never drunk, having never smoked, having never really lived a life. And that really was the turning point in my life. I was, in a dead end job. I was in sports hospitality. I absolutely hated it. It was 2004. I'd been using Betfair. And I sort of sat down and said to Sam, there's more to life than what we're doing. I think I can make a go of this. Can I sort of prove to you I can make a go of it? And that's when I started in 2004, really taking it seriously. And I said, in effect, I'll give it 12 months. I'll give up work, give it 12 months, see if I can make as much money as I make doing my job. And if I can, then I will carry on. If I can't, then I promise you I'll go out and get a job. And that was the conversation we had. And I started in 2004, as I said. As people have, you know, there's people who know this story, and apologies if I'm boring you. I started laying the draw. I did nothing else, and I knew I got to meet people fairly quickly in the gambling game, because I got to meet the guys in the shops and this, that, and the other. And I was trying to learn as much about it as I could. I had an idea about it. I was always quite good at maths, despite coming across as stupid. I was always quite good at maths. And I had an interest in football. It could have been anything, but I had an interest in football. But the idea was to take it seriously and do it properly. And from that stage of doing it properly, it just happened to be that I focused on football. But whilst I had monetary goals, and I did have monetary goals, and those of you who came to the seminars in 2013, the first ones I ever did, I talked to you about those monetary goals and how I went about setting those out and what they meant to me. But my main goal was purely about enjoying life. And that was my genuinely, whether people believe that or not, it was genuinely my sole goal. Having that sole goal obviously pushed me to earn the money to be able to do that, because without a doubt, having the money to be able to do things that you like and enjoy makes life more comfortable. Of course it does. I'm not naive enough to think that it doesn't. I look, if we go back to Gurdeep, I said, ask the question. Gurdeep posted a screenshot yesterday of £30,000. That he's won in the last month. Fantastic. He's won that based on the seminars of 2015, based on the odd sheet. From what I can tell, it pretty much all comes from just using the odd sheets, nothing else. There's a couple of things I admire in it. One, this is a guy who asked me a few years back to give him his 20 grand back when he'd had a losing streak and was having a go at me. And we've had words many times, Gurdeep and I, but again, he's somebody I feel I can speak honestly with. And if he can call me a prat, I can call him a prat. But I think there's a mutual respect there. But the big thing is, I didn't give him his 20 grand back, that he plugged on and he kept going and he's now doing it. But in a side under all that, when you read his Twitter feed, guy says he's a bit depressed. You know, if I had a conversation with Gurdeep and went out with him now, I'd say, Gurdeep, let's go and have a beer. There's more to life, because there is more to life than money. Without a doubt, he does enjoy it, but it isn't the drive for me. The drive for me is enjoying life. For example, I've put on Twitter this morning, I'm going to Japan. I have no massive interest in rugby. It's one of the best things I've been to. I've been to one rugby game, professional rugby game at Twickenham, England, Wales a few years back, and I walked in and there was two people in front of me dressed as leeks. And when I say dressed as leeks, it was 2 5-foot-10 leeks. And I sat down, I thought, what on earth is going on here? Bearing in mind, I'd only ever been to football and the tribalism of that. I've got two great leeks sat in front of me. I've got bloke dressed in daffodils behind me. And I thoroughly, it's one of the best sporting things that I've been to. I had a thoroughly cracking couple of days. A couple of hours. I really enjoyed it. A few Guinnesses, watched the rugby, and having the banter with Wales fans around you was really good fun. So yesterday, one of my friends phoned me up. He's a big rugby fan. Says, do you want to go to Japan to watch England, France? I know he's only asked me, one, because he knows I can pretty much do what I like time-wise. And two, he knows that I could afford to go. So, you know, would you come with me, in effect, is I need somebody to pay 2.5-3 grand to go on holiday with me because I want to watch the rugby. I'm going to go because it will be a life experience. One, it's a city that Sam and I probably would never go to, Tokyo. Two, I will enjoy the rugby and I'll get to see somewhere. It's about enjoying life. Now, I'm fortunate that the money I earn through football enables me to do that. But the key I'm trying to get across is the enjoying life. And the spur for that came from watching my mum, who worked her arse off and didn't enjoy life at all. And genuinely was, and I look back, you know, one of the first comments, I'll go back to with Sam, when we moved in together, I said, I won't ever row with you about money. I'll never have an argument with you about money. And the reason I said that was because when I thought back, I watched my parents just argue about money. All they did was argue about money every single week, every single day, almost. It was that's what I grew up in. And my mum, bless her, worked her hardest. And I look back and think, I haven't spoke to my old man for 20 years. The guy's an absolute knob. He's still alive. Don't care where he is. He is an absolute knob. And I'm quite black and white. Once I don't like somebody or don't situation, that's me done with it. I just move on because life is too short. We are here for a speck of time and we need to enjoy it. So that's how I got into it. And obviously having got into it, you know, the motivation of, right, I want to do this right. All I wanted to do was set about doing it properly. And I'd been probably much like many of you. I'd had gambles on horses now and then and gone in bookmakers and this, that and the other. My job had led me to meet gamblers because I was in sports hospitality and I met people in boxes at Ascot, etc. And that's how I sort of then thought, right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it properly. And I took Greg Johnson, a West Ham fan, to the semi-final. I remember a conversation walking out of the Tottenham Man U semi-final last year. And he said, what would you do? And I said, Greg, if you're going to do one thing, focus on the process. Forget the money, forget anything else, focus on the process. The minute you learn the process, it all becomes a bit easier and a bit clearer. But you've got to learn your own process. It's a matter of sitting there and saying, you know, what suits your mentality, what suits you, what sports suit you. That's why I don't do cricket or tennis, because it doesn't suit me. Football suits me. Golf, I enjoy. It's not my main source of income, and I never pretend it is. It's something I take money out of a side of winnings and think I'll have a go at that. But my football is my main income, and I enjoy it. I enjoy watching it, I enjoy talking about it, I enjoy looking at spreadsheets on it, I enjoy analysing it. But the actual market I make money in, it could be anything. It could be pumpkins, diamonds, gold, oil, whatever. It just so happens I fell on football because I do enjoy it. But it was all driven by that I want to have a better life, not I want to earn loads of money. The main drive was I want to have a better life. By driving myself to that, it enabled me to focus more. From that came winning more money. By coming winning more money, compounding, growing it organically, I'm able to do things now that in my old job I never would have been able to do. So I enjoy life a lot more. My general outlook on life is positive and good, despite how grumpy I sound. Most of what I do is joking around. I am a piss taker. I've always been a piss taker. I grew up with four siblings, two brothers and my sister are non-stop piss takers, and you had to learn to stand on your own two feet. Funnily enough, my brother next up from me is slightly different. He can't really handle having the piss taken out of him, and he gets a bit stroppy about it, so I don't tend to do it with him. But certainly with my two brothers there, I take the piss out of my kids, I take the piss out of my wife. Me and my wife haven't had a row in 26 years, and I mean that. We may have snapped at each other, but we haven't had a full-on row in 26 years, because we just take the piss out of each other. Like last night, that was her taking the piss out of me. And I'll take the piss out of her. She's got a Devon accent. I'll take the piss out of that. But I know I can do it, and I don't do it in a malicious way. And I think that's what, if I look at life now and society, and I don't get out much, I think there's been a massive sense of humour failure over the last 20 years, and a massive loss of respect, I suppose is the word, within community itself. When I first stepped through the doors of White Hart Lane, you know, it is a love of my life going to Tottenham, despite the agony it's caused me. I stepped through the doors of White Hart Lane on the 23rd of December 1978. And I walked in there, and those who've met me know I'm not the tallest guy on the planet, so imagine how I was as a seven-year-old. And I walked through there with a four-litre empty ice cream carton, and we weren't the first there, but the people in front of me sort of parted, waved me down the front, let me put my ice cream carton there, let me stand there and poke my head through the grates when we had, you know, when you used to have the barriers that held you in, and I poked my head through the grates and watched the game. Arsenal won 5-0 that day, and I managed to fall in love with Tottenham Hotspur. Don't tell me how that happened, but that's the way it was. I took my nephew to a game 2 years ago. He was 10 at the time, and I remember being at Wembley. No, it was at White Hart Lane. It was in one of the last season at White Hart Lane. And I'm being there, and I sit fifth row, so we're quite close to the pitch. Bloke in row three and his missus stood up all the time. So I asked them, could you sit down, because he couldn't see. They turned around and told me to fuck off. And that to me has been a sort of picture of the shift in society over that 30, 40 years. There doesn't seem to be a respect anymore. When I used to walk down the high street with my gran, who was lived to 98, so those of you who think I'm going to pop my clogs early, you got another 50 years of this shit. She knew everybody. Everybody said hello. Everybody was polite. People used to stand aside at Pelican Crossings and let her go first to give her time to cross the road. That paradigm shift for me, and it may be just my perception, I might be wrong, but it seems to have gone. I've lived in places and people don't even know I am. Walk down, nobody even looks at you. I'm walking around with the dog now. You know, you might get a grunt, but you don't get morning, how are you? And my memory of my child, particularly walking to school and things with my gran or going shopping with her, was that is what it was like. So there has been a shift, in my view, to a lack of respect, but there's been a massive sense of humour failure. People can't have a joke anymore. I enjoy having a crack and a laugh. I take the piss out of Suggsy, who I go to the football with, FTS member. I met him through FTS, but I know he's somebody I can take the piss with. James Carrigan this morning on Twitter has made me laugh. James is somebody I've stood in a seminar room taking the piss out of. I'm going to stand in a seminar room next month and take the piss out of him, but I know he can give it back. And I pick my, you know, Shazwad, great fun. I take the piss out of her being from Wigan all the time. I mean, it is something to take the piss out of, isn't it? But I only do it knowing that she can take it and she'll give it back to me. And I've met people through FTS, and one of the reasons why I like doing seminars is because you get that level, and you know when people walk in. You know, when I walk in that room in the NEC on the, whatever it is, 7th of April, the people who like to engage automatically come to the front. And they're the people that obviously I may have some banter with. The people who think I'm a bit of a bell end and just give us the football and sod off will be the people at the back. Neither party is right nor wrong. I don't look on anybody on that day any different. You'll all turn up, you've paid your money, and I will give you absolute 100% my best and tell you how to make money. But there'll be people from there that I build a rapport with based on my personality, because I like to take the piss out of people. I like people taking the piss out of me. Call it banter, call it good fun, whatever you like. Life is too short for people to take it as seriously as they are, and that's my view. And that stems from my mum dying, which drove me to do what I do. Looking back at her life and thinking, I'm not going to do that. This is what I want to do. And it isn't all money driven. Genuinely, if you get a passion for something and a desire to improve yourself, I do believe that the money will come, because you'll apply yourself better and you'll find. But the key is to plotting that path. And perhaps now in the gambling world, there's too much going on with things like Twitter, billions of tips coming through from all sources. Back in that time when I did it, Betfair wasn't as big as it was. Betfair certainly wasn't a sports book. It was an exchange. It was easier. I'm not going to say that it wasn't. And football was after racing the next thing. And that is really what I focused on. And it was quite easy to win money laying the draw. And I did that for 3 years without looking at anything else. So again, for all of you who bounce around from 3 years, I built up a bank of 50 grand laying the draw solely, starting at £50 lay the draw stakes. Nothing else. That's what I did. And I've been party to people doing too much, which is sort of where I've reined it in now. I thought, right, less is more, let's look at it. Because I have, because when somebody's given something to me, I've said, oh, you know, I know the guys will like that and be able to use that. But it doesn't always mean just because I say it's there, it's necessarily for you. So I'm well aware that I have ranted here, or not ranted, waffled on. But the question has been asked, how did I start? And that literally is it. My dad's an absolute complete and utter bellend. We don't talk. The way he treated my mum, retrospectively, I looked back on it and thought that's totally unacceptable. I looked at my mum's life, because she died early, thinking how tragic that was and that she hadn't actually done anything. And that inspired me to live a better life. And my kids, you know, I've got a daughter who lives in Malta now, lovely apartment, does what she likes. Yes, she's given me trouble over the way, but all kids do, and she will carry on. She's 30 years of age now. And my boy went to Cambridge and got a first. And again, yes, he had a nervous breakdown doing it, and he worked so hard for it. But I look at that now and think he's getting what he deserved. He's got a lovely girlfriend. He lives in Cambridge in a house. You know, life's good for him. And I think they've got a similar outlook, that he's working hard because he wants to have a decent life. He doesn't want to rely on the bank of mum and dad for the rest of his life. He's driving himself now so that he's got a better life. So he's very focused at what he does. And whilst I come across as a clown when I'm football betting, I'm gutted there's no football today. I've had 18 straight winning days in March. 18 straight. I haven't had a losing day. I'm absolutely flying. And there's nothing to do today. So that's probably part of my reason why I've got hysteria on Twitter, because there's nothing. I'm up ready to go again. I'm as passionate about it now as I was, even probably more so now. I've had lull periods because I had a bit of depression and things like that, which again come from sitting in an office on your own staring at screens all day. But ultimately, life is about enjoyment. And don't take yourself too seriously. When I say something on Twitter, it genuinely is pretty much tongue-in-cheek and a joke. I like the banter of it. I like the banter of meeting people. I've met some fantastic friends through FDS, just absolute brilliant people. And I mean that, the Shazwaj, Suggsy, Greg Johnson, even Peter Voss, who I'm going to take the piss out of in Birmingham, he knows it's coming. James Carrigan, you know, there's loads of you. Sal, Simone, lovely, lovely guy. Cav, lovely guy. Steve, the computer soccer stato guy, brilliant at what he does. Art, you know, I ripped the piss out of Art, but he can take it. Great fun, being a great friend to me. Ken, being a great... I could go on. I've met fantastic people through doing what I do now, and I want to help them make some money. But they're all good friends because you can have a laugh with them and a banter with them. And I accept that there'll be people in the room over these seminars who you can't have a laugh with. And I won't even try to. I'll let you get on with what you do. But my view on life is it is too short. We are here for a spec. Do what you've got to do work-wise to give yourself a better chance. But don't forget that life is for living. That is the most important thing. We are genuinely just specs. We are nothing. People take themselves far too seriously. Have a little bit of laugh in your life and you'll feel much better. So I am off to kick the dog, bin the missus, and one word to leave you with is scenes.